This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, this is Terry Burdick with the Danville Commercial News for Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th of 2024. We'll begin today's reading on the front page. Our reading today will be about 30 minutes long, so we'll take a break about 15 minutes in and share our death notices for today, and then I promise you that we'll talk a little bit about sports before we end. So we'll start with the local news and on our front page. Front page for, again, Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th, the Danville Commercial News. DAC students participate in skills competition. Dateline Peoria. Nearly 2,000 students from more than 80 schools, including Danville Area Community College, have been participating in Skills USA's Elite Workforce Development Competition that started Thursday and runs through today. Today was Saturday. The students representing schools from Chicagoland to Southern Illinois headed to Peoria for their version of an call-up to the big leagues, showing off how their skills match up against their peers in front of potential employers for the successful careers they seek in Illinois' premier workforce development showcase. Students have been participating in more than 150 career competitions at the Peoria Civic Center as the culmination for a school year dedicated to career development through the Skills USA Illinois program. The Skills USA Illinois 2024 Championships Conference is sponsored again this year by Caterpillar, Inc. and the City of Peoria. The three-day celebration of students and schools' commitment to career and technical education, all made possible by hundreds of industry partners, trade associations, and labor organizations who volunteer countless hours to judge the competitions as students race against the clock and each other to prove their expertise in manufacturing, electronics, computer-aided drafting, culinary arts, construction, hospitality, human services, and much more. The students advance from qualifying in regional championship competitions. Winners of the statewide championships this weekend will go on to compete in the National Skills USA Championships this June in Atlanta, Georgia. Some of the competing schools traveled to Springfield in early March for the first Skills USA Illinois Lobby Day, where they met legislators at the state capitol and advocated for expanding funding and flexibility for CTE courses. Skills USA programming is supported by a state grant under the Illinois Work Pre-Apprenticeship Program. Governor J.B. Pritzker has proposed a $10 million increase in CTE funding this next year. Skills USA Illinois' mission is to help empower employers statewide address a growing skills gap with its nonprofit partnership of students, instructors, and industry to introduce and encourage young people about employment needs and the skilled workforce required to meet them. We're so grateful to Caterpillar, the City of Peoria, and our dedicated industry partners and volunteers who make these championships and all of our work to help connect students and careers a big success, said Skills USA Illinois Executive Director Eric Hill. Our state needs more skilled workers, and the championships provide a true spotlight into the excellent work being done across the state to meet those needs while we work to grow more talent and create new opportunities. In other front page news, Bennett honored with highway naming. To honor the life and legacy of the late Senator Scott Bennett, State Senator Paul Faraci joined elected officials, community members, as well as friends and family of Scott Bennett at a memorial in Oakwood to name portions of I-74 the Senator Scott M. Bennett Memorial Highway. Senator Bennett continues to be remembered as a leader in our communities who dedicated his life to serving the people of Illinois, said Faraci, a Democrat from Champaign. He will forever be missed, but his legacy will never be forgotten. This is one way we can continue to honor him for decades to come. Last spring, Faraci passed Senate Joint Resolution 32, designating I-74 from U.S. Route 45 in Champaign to the Indiana state line as the Senator Scott M. Bennett Memorial Highway. On Thursday, the Illinois Department of Transportation placed signs along the interstate in his honor. Scott Bennett joined the Senate as a unanimous choice to fill the vacancy in the 52nd State Senate District in 2015. Since the beginning of his career, Senator Bennett dedicated his service to spurring economic development, supporting family farming, providing Illinois students with greater opportunities, and promoting bipartisanship across the state. As chair of the Senate's Higher Education Committee, he was a champion for higher education facilities by advocating for funding and student rights. Senator Bennett prioritized his service to the 52nd State Senate District above himself, but his greatest love was for family. In more front page news, Hoopston receives fire grant. The Office of the Illinois State Fire Marshal announced Friday the recipients of the 2024 Small Equipment Grant Program. The Hoopston Fire Department is receiving $25,960. A total of $4 million was awarded to 165 fire departments and districts and EMS providers across the state. The program was established to provide grants of up to $26,000 each for the purchase of small firefighting and ambulance equipment. This program is an innovative approach to a problem that has long caused difficulties for fire departments and not-for-profit. The purpose is to allow eligible applicants the opportunity to purchase small equipment they may not otherwise be able to purchase. The OSFM received 417 applications requesting about $9.5 million in funding for this grant period. We continue to see and hear about the need and understand the issues fire departments face when it comes to funding across the state. I am proud this year we were able to increase our grant funding to $4 million, a $2.5 million increase from last year, which has allowed us to award over 100 more departments money to purchase life-saving tools they may not have been able to afford otherwise, said Illinois State Fire Marshal James A. Rivera. Most Illinois fire departments, fire districts, township fire departments, and standalone nonprofit ambulance service providers were eligible to apply. All fire departments, fire protection districts, and township fire department applicants were required to have participated in the National Fire Incident Reporting System for a minimum of 2 years prior to application. In our community briefs today, police memorial service set for May 9th. The Danville Police Department and the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department will conduct the annual police memorial service at Sunset Memorial Park on Thursday, May 9th at 10 a.m. The public is welcome to attend to show respect to fallen officers and support current working officers from both departments. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. will read the fallen officers' names with reflections from Reverend Frank McCullough. Honor guards from both agencies will perform as fallen officer sacrifices are recognized. There will be a rifle salute and the playing of taps, and wreath presentations will be conducted by Sheriff Hartshorn and Chief Yates. In other community briefs, Sports and Brews returns on May 3rd. First Friday Sports and Brews is returning for its third year in downtown Danville on May 3rd from 5 to 8 p.m. for an evening filled with activities. This event will feature outdoor activities such as ziplining through downtown Danville for only $5. Find more information about Sports and Brews at www.firstfridaydanville.com. For the safety of those attending, roads will be closed from 2 to 9:45 p.m. Vermilion Street will be barricaded from Harrison to Main Street, and North Street will be barricaded from either side of Vermilion Street to the closest alleys. If you have any questions, contact the Community Relations Coordinator, Raina Alles, at 217-431-2879. Sounds like a good night. Well, here's a great sign that summer is coming. Custard Cup sets opening under new ownership. The Custard Cup will open for its 75th season at noon on Friday, May 24th. The Custard Cup will be open noon to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and noon to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. We decided Memorial Day weekend was the perfect time to open. It's the official kickoff for summer, and what represents summer better than the Custard Cup, said new owner Andrew Siebert. In the meantime, work is being completed to prepare the building for the opening, and interviews are underway for staff. We received over 50 applications in less than 24 hours, which just underscores the community's excitement for the Cup to open, Siebert said. Ongoing updates leading to the season opening can be found on the Custard Cup's Facebook page. Illinois Police, State Police warn of phone scam. The Illinois State Police is warning the public of a phone scam. Over recent days, ISP has received several phone calls from individuals reporting a person claiming to be an ISP investigator, telling them their identity has been stolen. This is a scam. ISP special agents will not make cold calls requesting personal or financial information or ask you to confirm personal or financial information. If you receive a phone call from someone claiming to be an ISP investigator, ask for the caller's name, badge number, and phone number, and then hang up. Never provide or confirm personal or financial information over the phone to an unknown caller. You can verify if a caller is an ISP special agent by contacting one of the 7 investigative regions throughout the state, which can be found on the ISP website. If you have provided personal or financial information to a caller or think someone may have stolen your identifying information, ISP recommends contacting each of the three credit bureaus to put a free security freeze on your card. This will prevent someone from opening credit in your name. www.equifax.com, www.experian.com, and www.transunion.com can be used to contact your the credit services. You can also call the Illinois Attorney General's Identity Theft Hotline at 1-866-999-5630. And again, the Attorney General's Identity Theft Hotline is 866-999-5630. You will be assigned a consumer advocate to guide you through the recovery process. Dyslexia Center has annual Chicken Noodle Fundraiser. This is tonight for those of you that are listening to us on Monday, April 29th. The Children's Dyslexia Center of East Central Illinois will be having its annual Chicken and Noodles Fundraiser Dinner. The dinner will be from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday, April 29th at the Masonic Temple at 109 West North Street in Danville. The cost is $12 for adults and $6 for children ages 2 to 6. The meal includes chicken and noodles, mashed potatoes, vegetable, bread, and dessert. Carryouts are available, and delivery of five or more meals is available with advance order. Contact Sean McBride at 217-474-8689. A 50-50 drawing will be held at 6:45 p.m. The dinner serves as one of the organization's major fundraisers for the year. Proceeds helps provide students with dyslexia with tutoring at no cost to their parents. The Dyslexia Center is in its 16th year and has impacted many local families. The center serves children from Vermilion, Champaign, Iroquois, and Ford counties in Illinois and Vermilion County, Indiana. 1 in 5 people suffer from dyslexia, which is a learning disability that makes reading and language-related tasks harder. It's very important for us to keep this going, board member Mike Purr has said. Turning to the opinion page, Garfield Pool Restoration Worth the Money, and our writer is Ricky Williams Jr., the mayor of Danville. John Muir, father of our national park, said, "Everybody needs beauty as well as bread. Places to play and pray in, where nature may heal and give strength to body and soul." Growing up close to Garfield Park meant that it was such a place for many of us. My sister, cousins, friends, and I often rode our bikes there to play or swim. It's where the Raiders taught many of my friends to play football or cheer, and where we watched our dads and the legendary Bobo Smalls play in the Twilight League. Fast forward 30 years, and Garfield continues to play a major role in the fabric of not only the surrounding neighborhoods, but the entire city. It's the home of Garfield Pool, the Boys and Girls Club, host of the Seahawks Youth Football and Cheer Program, and countless other functions. Additionally, the VA, other entities, and individuals use the pool before it opens to the public for therapy purposes. In fact, a woman who lost her leg during knee replacement surgery quite literally regained her footing by exercising there. Garfield is one of our three busiest parks, and the only time it slows down is during the winter. Therefore, imagine our dismay in 2020 during the height of COVID when our public works team recommended that we not open the pool due to facilities issues. Outdoor recreation was one of the last permissible activities and put us in a terrible predicament. After much deliberation, we decided that we would open the pool. Fast forward again to 2021, and the pool had become structurally unsafe to reopen. We commissioned a study that provided costs of what it would be to either restore our existing pool or build a new one at a different location. It was projected that the restoration would be $3.5 million, and building new would be $9 to $11 million plus land acquisition. While we were close to having enough money in reserves for restoration, we weren't quite there, and we had no clue where we would get enough money to start from scratch. In 2022, we were awarded $24.7 million in ARPA funds. After much public feedback and discussion, we determined that we would use some of that money to restore the pool, add water slides, an additional $1.5 million, and make $1.9 million in upgrades to Garfield Park. Unfortunately, an answered prayer for funding quickly became an exceedingly tough decision when we put the project out to bid and it came in more than three times the original projection. The quote, "Life is like swimming. Sometimes you hit a wall, turn around, and just keep going," had never been so poignant. Why had the project suddenly become so expensive? A 40% increase in the price of building materials bumped the former proposal to $9.7 million. The state notified us that our existing pump house and bath house would need to be upgraded to meet current code, adding another $1.9 million and $1.8 million respectively, for a total of $13.4 million. Building a new pool would make the total project cost $20 million. The City Council had a seemingly impossible decision to make: invest over half of our ARPA funds in the Garfield project or close the pool. On the one hand, this was a lot of money that could be used for other things, and on the other, if we closed the pool, we would almost certainly never have one again. We proceeded. We struggled mightily with whether or not we made the right choice. However, now that the pool portion of the project is nearing completion, we're certain that we did. In the words of author Marty Rubin, "Parks and playgrounds are the soul of a city. No matter where you come from, this will be a safe place that's tons of fun. Youth will have another option for work and play during the summer, and generations of Danville families will make a lifetime of memories together. The pool will also bring people from outside the city to a place that positively reflects who we are. It's hard to put a price tag on all of that. But by saving Garfield, we're demonstrating to ourselves and others that we deserve excellent amenities while making this an even better place to live, work, invest, and play. Although the entire project won't be finished yet, we hope you'll join us this summer for a splashtastic time at the Danville Aquatic Center at Garfield Park." And again, our opinion writer today is Mayor Ricky Williams, Jr. Since we're a little past the half-May mark, let's turn our attention to today's death notices. Diana Susan Gray. Diana Susan Donnelly Gray passed away peacefully on April 8th in Denver, Colorado, surrounded by loved ones. Services will be held at Life Point Church on the Nazarene of the Nazarene in Mooresville, Indiana, on May 4th at 11 a.m. In lieu of flowers, her family has requested a charitable donation to the Morgan County Humane Society. John Miller. John L. Miller, age 84, of Kingman, passed away on Wednesday, April 24th. John's family would like to express their gratitude to the doctors and nurses at St. Vincent Williamsport for their excellent care of John. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made in John's name to St. Vincent Williamsport at 412 North Monroe Street in Williamsport, Indiana, and the American Cancer Society. There will be a visitation for John at Sanders Funeral Care at 203 South 1st Street in Kingman on Tuesday the 30th from 11 a.m. until the time of the funeral service at 1. Burial will follow at Centennial Cemetery. You may share memories and condolences online at www.sandersfuneralcare.com. There's additionally an additional death notice. The death notices that are in the paper on Saturday are the same as the obituaries that we just read and the folks that we just honored. This week, so April 28th through May 24th, as a nation, we'll be celebrating National Small Business Week. And I thought I'd take just a couple of moments to share with you what this week is all about, and then also some unique reasons to shop at small businesses. About National Small Business Week. For 60 years, the President of the United States has issued a proclamation announcing National Small Business Week, which recognizes the critical contributions of America's entrepreneurs and small business owners. More than half of Americans either own or work for a small business and create about 2 out of every 3 new jobs in the U.S. each year. As part of National Small Business Week, the U.S. Small Business Administration takes the opportunity to highlight the impact of outstanding entrepreneurs, small business owners, and others from all 50 states and U.S. territories. Unique reasons to shop at a small business? 1. The feel-good factor. A November 2020 survey by Union Bank found that 72% of Americans said supporting small businesses was more important than getting the best deals. That may be due to the feeling of helping out a fellow neighbor. Creating job opportunities. Keeping small businesses viable provides a strong job market for locals. Keeping more money in the community. The Small Business Administration says $48 out of every $100 spent at a small business stays within the community. And to enjoy a more local flavor. National retailers and other businesses follow a global business model that may not allow for much customization, but small businesses can provide products or services that relate directly to the needs of the communities that they serve. So I hope you have an opportunity to get out there and celebrate National Small Business Week by visiting a few of the incredible small businesses we are blessed to have in our communities. Continuing with our community news, 4-H Showmanship Clinic prepares young stars for fairs. Dateline Georgetown. Aspiring young livestock exhibitors can gain a competitive edge with the 4-H Showmanship Clinic held directly before the Swine and Beef Showdown in Georgetown. The clinic offers separate sessions for swine on May 18th and beef on May 19th, starting at 8 a.m. at the Georgetown Fairgrounds at 413 North Seminary Street in Georgetown. With show season right around the corner, this clinic will teach participants the fundamentals of showcasing their animals at upcoming jackpots, county fairs, and national shows. The clinic will cover a range of topics from proper handling and grooming techniques to confident presentation in the show ring. It aims to provide valuable knowledge to help young exhibitors shine in their respective shows. It's worth noting that youth are not required to bring their animals or to participate in the Showdown Open Show to attend the clinic. The 4-H Showmanship Clinic empowers youth to confidently present their animals and make a positive impression on judges, says 4-H Youth Development Educator Minda Tracy. These skills are essential for success in the show ring and build valuable life lessons in communication, responsibility, and self-confidence. The swine presenter is Adam Gradert. Originally from Geneseo, Illinois, Adam owns Gradert Show Pigs and runs 35 sows for crossbreds, Chesters, and Yorks. He attended Black Hawk College East and Western Illinois University, where he was on two highly competitive livestock judging teams. At WIU, he was named High Individual at the National Barrow Show and on the champion team at the Barrow Show and National Western Stock Show. The beef presenter is Paige Lemonager. Originally from Hudson, Illinois, she and her family own a purebred Angus heifer cow-calf operation focusing on producing elite show cattle. Paige was named Champagne Showman at the National Junior Angus Show in 2022 and considers showmanship a skill driven by passion and hard work. She will continue her animal science studies and livestock judging career at Texas Tech University this fall. Paige spent her youth as a member, leader, and officer in the 4-H organization on the local and state levels. She believes that 4-H is the foundation for youth in agriculture to build a strong future, and she thoroughly enjoys working with young showmen. Space at the clinic is limited, so early registration is encouraged. You can register at go.illinois.edu showmanship clinic. Our third graders at Edison recently participated in a Earth Day service project at Lincoln Park. The article's headline for us to learn more about this is Third Graders at Edison Complete Earth Day Project. Danville's Edison Elementary School third grade class completed a service project on Earth Day. Students completed a literacy lesson prior to the field trip, educating them on why litter is harmful to the environment, such as how it impacts animals and water systems. On Earth Day, students worked together in teams to clean up sections of Lincoln Park in Danville. The students had fun and were able to pick up quite a bit of litter. Katie Brewer, social worker for Danville School District 118, led the project for the class. This year, I decided to pitch a service project for our third grade class for Earth Day to help clean up our environment and also work together to be good citizens, Brewer said in an email message. Part of school is not only academics, but also learning how to be helpful to others, productive, and work as a team. We want to bring up our students to be proud of their community and to make positive changes whenever and wherever they can. Brewer thanked Keeping Vermilion County Beautiful and the City of Danville for help with the project and for allowing the class to use their safety equipment. As we enter the last section of our 30 minutes together, let's turn our attention to local sports. There is a lot going on in high school sports, and for those of you that are fans, you probably already know these outcomes, but let's take a look anyway. So remember that these are results that were from Friday's games. Westville baseball gets past Sauk Fork. Let's see, with Friday's game moved to Westville because of rain, the Tigers baseball team took full advantage, and the Tigers had 9 hits as they beat Sauk Fork 8-1. In other games, Normal West won over Danville by a score of 5-2. Oakwood 10, Cisna Park 0. Mahomet Seymour 8, Hoopston Area 0. Covington 8, Fountain Central 0, Westville 11, Salt Fork 5, Seeger 17, and Vermilion 5, Normal 6, Danville 11th, Fountain Central 8, Covington 3, BHRA North was 13 with Vermilion at 4. Turning to Prep Boys basketball, it was announced this week that the IHSA tourney is going to stay in Champaign. The Illinois High School Association Board of Directors has announced a state final hosting contract extension for the IHSA Boys basketball state finals at the State Farm Center on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign-Urbana. The IHSA is thrilled for America's original March Madness to remain in Champaign-Urbana for the foreseeable future, said IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson. We appreciate the support that Champaign-Urbana and its surrounding communities, the University, State Farm Center, Experience Champaign-Urbana, and all the tournament volunteers annually provide for the state tournament. Champaign-Urbana has a long legacy of producing top-tier events that lead to lifelong memories for IHSA players, coaches, schools, and their fans. The contract extension is 5 years in length and will encompass 24-25, 25-26, 26-27, 27-28, and 28-29 state tournaments. We're honored to continue to as hosts for the Illinois basketball state finals at the University of Illinois campus, said University of Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman. The Champaign area community has come together to provide a first-class experience to all the teams over the past 3 years, and we know from the overwhelming feedback we've received that it has been a positive experience for all who have participated. Okay, Chicago Bears fans, here's the news that you were waiting for. Bears banking on Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, welcome to Chicago. The expectations are clear. Become the franchise quarterback the Bears have craved for years and lift the founding NFL franchise to the top of the league. Other than that, there's no pressure at all. I don't think of it that way, Williams said after the Bears took him with the number one pick in the NFL draft on Thursday night. That may be the narrative. For me, I handle my job. General Manager Ryan Poles made a half-hearted attempt during the week to play things close to the vest when it came to the first pick by telling everyone to tune in as he smiled. The real mystery, of course, was what they would do at number 9. The Bears took Washington All-American Rome Onduze, giving them another potential playing receiver to go with DJ Moore. Returning to local sports, Jenkins and Skinner win sportsmanship awards. The 2023 Vermilion County Sportsmanship Awards were given out recently, and Westville was able to win the individual awards. The girls' basketball winner was senior Aubrey Jenkins, and head coach Joe Brazes said her leadership in no matter what the situation was made her a major candidate for the award. Aubrey was a team leader but only played a third of the season, Brazes said. In the second game of the year, she broke her nose in two places, and she was out 7 games and had a surgery and was out 4 more games. She was the one that always delivered a joke and was what we needed. And she was needed as the Tigers struggled throughout the season. But Brazes said Jenkins brought a lot of energy. She was the type where she would continue to root for the younger players after the game was over, Brazes said. We were not good, and we were losing by 20 points, but she was there and behind them 100%. Jenkins would go on to finish the season in style on senior night, where she scored 18 points in a Westville win. The boys' winner was senior Aiden Skinner, who also gave support to his team no matter what. Skinner is the kid every coach wants on his team, Westville head coach Ed Barney said in his nomination letter for Skinner. Whether he played 2 minutes or 28 minutes, he had the perfect attitude, and you never question his effort or attitude. He's the first one to give a teammate a high five or tell them it's okay if they made a mistake. The girls' team award went to Armstrong Potomac, who had 2 votes to get the win in its first season under Mike Chandler. It was a nice award to win. I teach good sportsmanship and the proper way to play the game, Chandler said. The group that I had this year were very young and competitive group that no matter what the score was, they played hard and competed until the end of the game. Chandler said the Trojans' enthusiasm was key to the young team, went 6-24 for the season. I was really proud of this group because they kept playing hard and becoming better throughout the season. Chandler said they showed themselves in a very sportsmanlike way. It was a fun team to coach, and they were great kids on and off the court. They were a fun group and a lot of personality on them. The boys' team winner was Georgetown Ridge Farm, and they also had 2 votes to outpace the field. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Terry Burdick. with the Vermilion County Commercial News of Saturday and Sunday, April 27th and 28th. I'll be reading with you again soon.